The following program is closed captioned for the thinking impaired.
We had some drama with the last cast where I deleted the majority of the tape.
It was such a good episode, too.
I didn't tell you about that really. I gave you the Coles notes of it where I said I deleted the podcast. Sorry, I'll tell you later. I found out editing that there's a data file. And this is for like newbies. Probably pro seasoned podcasters are going to laugh at this. But if you delete the data file, you delete all the sound that goes with it. So, and I accidentally deleted that file, and I thought it was a different file because my wallpaper is so light on the MacBook that I was like, okay, go to edit it, and nothing would open. And then I sent it to the cop shop. I have a friend who's a police officer, and even his software couldn't crack it. New MacBook security system is set up to stop anything from cracking it. So the cops can't even crack a MacBook at the moment. That's the full story.
So what I'm getting is that your master file was saved to your desktop.
Exactly. And then I went to clean my desktop instead of save it to the actual Real Debaters file I have. And
It was a really good episode too. I was like, episodes get better and better, right?
They do,
because obviously we get more, we get practice,
for.
we get practice and it's a skill. And like my favorite one before that one was the weapons one with Mike flailing. Like, that was a great episode. And then this one, superhero one, was also a really, really good episode. I'm just like, to lose it was rough.
It was a hard pill to swallow. So that is why we've been a while. So it's good to see both of you again. Martin, we'll start with you. What did you watch this week?
I watched the new Game of Thrones episode.
Ooh.
And if you haven't seen it yet, or just skip ahead maybe 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Because we're going to talk about it.
And I'll put it in the notes after, like, where this portion stops.
Like, so we talk about this episode of Game of Thrones, like, you know, like season 8, episode 3.
Yes.
I enjoyed it. Did you guys enjoy it?
The first question is, how good is your TV?
Pretty good. I have a smart TV.
Okay. We don't have a smart TV, so there was a lot of clipping. I guess the HBO servers couldn't handle the majority of the people watching.
Did you PVR it?
No, I watched it live through Crave through my Xbox. So
okay, I PVR'd mine, so I straight from Shaw.
That makes more sense.
Or no, Bell, so Bell.
Yeah, you watched it after it wasn't streaming.
Yeah.
But technicality aside, I think it's a red herring, first of all. I think that there was a 55 day night shoot, right?
Yeah, like, for 1 hour and 20 minutes.
That's a lot of, Steve can tell us if that's a lot of work or not.
Well, it is a lot of work, but it doesn't mean there's more that we haven't seen yet.
Exactly. I feel that they amped up that aspect of it so much that we were led to believe that there would be more there. And it was good, but I like Battle of the Bastards better.
That was my favorite battle scene. Like I said, I'll say this, like I enjoyed it, but it wasn't perfect. Like,
yeah.
There were some things that were just like, why didn't they do this? I mean, that doesn't make sense from a strategic standpoint. You know what I mean? Like, why?
Yeah, Jon Snow's horrible at strategy.
Yeah. I mean, like, why did they just fire the catapults one round? Why did they just keep going until they came? Like,
My biggest thing strategy-wise, being a total, like, you know, I'm a five-star general. So
yeah,
I know
you've got a background on this.
But it's like, okay, Jon Snow's fought these things, like, five times already?
About five times, man.
And in a couple battles, so he knows what's going to happen. They're just going to fucking run.
Oh, it's a Zerg.
They're just going to come at you.
They're not coming up with a new battle plan
so
all
like,
of a sudden.
So, like, what are you going to do? Like, you got to funnel them. You got to try and slow them down. You don't stick all your dudes outside your fort going slaughtering where they get outflanked. You stick them up. You take those on cell. You put them on the top of your little towers, poking them with sticks as they try to climb up the wall.
Yeah.
After you've done the flame trench, after you've done all that stuff. And you don't just send your Dothraki straight out at them.
No.
Head on, charge into the dark.
By themselves.
Well,
unsupported,
no support.
Charge.
To Jon and Daenerys' defense, right? Like, they've never been defeated in open an open field before. An open
John
house.
Almost
John,
did.
John's just been saved by other people yeah, every time.
Yeah. And he did get saved in this one.
Yeah, like I was going to mention, he really wasn't the hero in this episode that he's being made out to be. Which brings back my red herring point, where I think that this was a hard episode to shoot, but it was blown up way, way more than it should have been.
Mm-hmm.
And now that the rumors are trending online that episode 5 is going to be twice as crazy as episode 3 is.
It's got to be, right?
And there's so much there with the Bran Night King thing. And I have a short version of the theory I've been following is if the Night King was made originally by the Children of the Forest, then you can make a new Night King. And if you can make a new Night King, then that new Night King can raise all of the dead around Winterfell. And I think that's what Bran knows, the secret to how to make another Night King, because he was there. He went back, you know.
It's Dragonglass
to the chest, right? Yeah. So I think we're going to see Bran finally stand for real and get into some serious shit. But that's just my...
I think it's more like... I think the reason why they did the Night King this episode was because it's like, it's the whole zombie thing, right? The zombies aren't the real threat. People are the real threat.
Yeah.
Like Cersei is the real threat. Like she is fucking nuts.
This is a speed bump.
Yeah. Like if they could have easily lost this. If they lost this, the world would have been screwed. Like Cersei can't beat that.
No.
Like if all the dragons died and they have a dragon still that's undead, it's game over. Like King's Landing loses.
And that's exactly what her double cross was, right? Like she's like, fine, I'll team up with you, and then double crosses them and says, I'll deal with whatever's left.
Yeah, but if they lost, she could not deal with whatever's
that's
left.
That's true, yeah. So that's
my point.
Yeah, that is a good point, actually, when you think about it.
Because if all the people in Winterfell died, he just raises them all. Like, remember how he did in the end?
Yeah.
He raised them all? That's, like, what, maybe like another 60,000 in his army?
Yeah, that's just
And then
her,
keep going south and then raising more people?
That's just her gamble.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's insane. She's the real threat.
She wants everyone dead.
Yeah.
So it's like,
The real, like I said, that's, I think that's the point of the series is people are the real threat,
Just a theory I just came up with in my head right now.
Sure.
Like, what if that wasn't the Night King?
Could be. I don't know.
Oh, now you're outside the box.
What if that was just not what?
Just some dude.
Like, what if the long night keeps going? It doesn't actually end.
We don't know. Like, no one.
Yeah, like Bran is the Night King, actually, or something.
That's where I'm, like, Bran is either going to be the new Night, like, there always has to be a Night King kind of thing, right? Like, without the Long Night, you can't have the Long Summer. Or, I didn't read the books, I don't know if that's how they actually...
No, they could still have, you could just have winters.
Yeah.
I mean, but you just won't have a forever winter, which is what the Night King was doing. I don't know if Bran is the Night King. I think he might do something, because he has the ability to kind of change the past, right?
Yeah.
So I think he'll do something in the next few episodes that sets all the events in motion.
I know what you're getting at. His warging can
not
allow...
Not warging. It's when he sees. Warging is when he goes into animals. I don't know what it's called. I mean, green dreams? No, they're not green dreams. I forget what they're called in the books, but...
But isn't that what you
warging
call him
Warging is
going...
when you go into an animal.
Sure, yeah, but isn't that what he does when he goes in the raven?
Yeah, but I'm not talking about the raven.
Yeah.
When he sees the past. Remember when he goes back...
Oh, okay, yeah.
To when his father was going to go see his sister,
mm-hmm.
who was dying in the tower, and then he said, Dad, and then he looked back and he heard him. Or even when Hodor was like, hold the door... He went back and saw Hodor, and who was a kid, normal.
So for all we know, is like when he said, "Oh, I have to go take a look."
Yeah,
he could have actually been like
doing
green dreaming right then to help Arya get ahead and
something
take out the Night King.
Yeah,
because she suddenly just snapped back into place. You'd be like, "Wait, how did she?"
The little callback quote from season one.
Yeah, and it was like
snapped her back into.
No, but. Yeah, that's...
You've closed a lot of eyes. Yeah. Brown eyes, green eyes, blue eyes. Yeah. What do we say to the...
There was a...
Of the death
but the Battle of the Bastards was still my favorite battle scene because I think out of any battle scene ever in history, in any film or TV, I think that's the closest view we get to what actual medieval battle scene looks like. Just randomness and chaos. And
Brave
if you
Heart.
Live... I think that's this is even more realistic. Yeah, man.
No.
I think this is a Battle of Bastards is a better battle scene than Braveheart. I'm sorry. I'm saying it now.
No.
Way better. Way better.
Steve, you have to back that up now.
No, well, I have to rewatch the episode, but I remember watching it going,
If you
But need... in terms of like realistic of like what people would actually be like fighting with those types of weapons and systems.
Mind you, sorry, just let me just say, just remove the giant from the equation.
And then, yeah, it's I wanted to call you out for that in a second. I'm like, wait a minute.
But I just like, you know what I mean? Like the fact that it's so like Jon Snow, it's, you get a good perspective of Jon Snow in the battle and just, it's, everything's random. The fact that he lived through that was just dumb luck. You know what I mean? Like all the arrows, the cavalry charging, just the chaos in a battlefield. Like who, how do you know who your friend is, who your enemy is?
You're right in that regard. I think Jon surviving the Battle of the Bastards has more to do with his destiny and less to do with accidental luck. Like,
You know what I mean? Destiny, but like that could still be contrived as accident, like kind of lucky. Like it, this, there's no, you're basically, surviving a battle is just basically less than a coin flip in terms of odds, right?
It's law of averages.
This show's full of luck, though.
Yeah.
Like, not to continue this rabbit hole, because it's not what we're here to talk about, but yet the whole long night, there's Sam, Brianna, the Lannisters, like, they all survived when being pinned against the wall by mounds of undead.
Yeah.
Somehow.
Yeah. So.
And you know, he didn't get torched while he was yelling at the dragon.
That was all of a sudden a big U-turn. That's not how Game of Thrones has taught us things go. Just to kind of end this here before we skip to you, Steve. Some meme pointed out that Jaime and Brienne fighting side by side in that dark corner where they were being pinned. That's Ned's sword broken into two.
It's ice.
It's ice. Yeah. So it was like a little bit of there's some duality there where it's like, yes, you're watching the two of them fight.
That's why they're always pinned together, because they're held by that bond of, you know, the Valyrian steel sword broken into two, always want to come together.
Yeah, totally.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Can't keep them apart.
So without going down the rabbit hole any further, let's U-turn over to Steve. What did you watch this week?
Well, it's not that much of a U-turn. Well, we kind of ran out of things on Netflix, so...
How does that happen?
I don't know. So I went to... I usually like historical stuff and time travel. So we started watching Outlander. I guess it's like a romance novel turned to a series.
Yeah.
About a woman who goes back post-World War II. She gets sent back to like 1700s in Scotland during the Jacobite uprisings. And it has great production value. But, you know, I'm sort of just watching it when I have dinner.
A mealtime movie.
It is. Yeah. Yeah. But it is HBO-ish, because there is a lot of nudity and sex in it.
Is it Netflix productions, or is it just on Netflix?
I don't know, actually.
Okay.
I mean, it's all right. It's kind of neat from a historical point of view. It's really annoying because they have this narration that explains everything when they don't have to. Like, you're watching it, and you understand if she's feeling torn through her action, but then this really... lousy voiceover, because like, I didn't know what to do. It's like, I get it.
I don't need a narration to tell me what's going on in the moment.
I'm playing in the forest with the kids, not just to play with them, but to find an escape route. And you could see her trail that she's making. You don't actually have to, we know what she's doing. You don't have to like,
you don't have to hold my hand.
She constantly is this narrator, and it's probably from the book, a holdover from the book. And I'm shocked by that, because the executive producer is like Ronald D. Moore.
Yeah.
So like Star Trek, Battlestar Galactica, all that stuff. And again, this is high production value, and it's entertaining enough for me to watch when I'm eating.
Well, what's the rule? One for commerce, one for art, right? I heard that somewhere. I mean, you can do everything for commerce.
I think it's more for actors.
Is that for... Okay, that doesn't go for...
I think the line is for actors, but... yeah, no, it's just... it is what it is.
Okay.
I mean, if you like to see, you know, men in kilts and boobies from time to time, and...
Well, boobies, you know, would be before my men in kilts, but hey.
Yeah, you had me at kilts, so I was like, Don't get me wrong, I do love Braveheart. I love it.
It was, I think, all of our first major battle, when I look at all the movies from when we were all kids.
Probably.
Like, that was really one of the first bloody...
Did that come out when you were in high school?
I think so. Yeah, it did. Yeah, it did. It came out in high school, but it later came into my wheelhouse. I didn't go see it in the theaters or anything like that.
No, I didn't. I remember seeing it when it came out on VHS. That's when I saw it for the first time.
Yes, yeah. Oh, good old VHS. I watched the Doom Patrol.
How is that? I haven't seen Doom Patrol, but I've seen Titans, and I like Titans.
Okay. Doom Patrol is hilarious in the fact that it makes...
Sorry, have you seen Titans?
I've been trying to, since you talk about it so much, to just to give it a shot. I just, the young group of actors really doesn't, like, I have a hard time getting into those shows, essentially. Like, I tripped on The Umbrella Academy and liked it just because it's...
Everyone's older.
Everyone's older. And it's got some neat tricks, like nobody uses a cell phone, there's no TVs in it, right? Like, it's set in an extremely unique time period, which you can't really tell, but then all of a sudden the laptop comes in and you're like, okay, what? Okay.
It's very, like, hipster in that academy. Everything's kind of, like, old school.
It is.
But...
It's very clashy. But Doom Patrol is, it's 5 years before Justice League really assembles itself.
Okay.
So Cyborg is in it.
So this is before, do you care about this? Cause I want to, it's in Titans. They feature Doom Patrol in Titans.
Okay. So
that's where it comes from. That's why they got the spin off because it did so Titans I think Titans did so well, and then everyone liked Doom Patrol's role in it, so they gave Doom Patrol the spinoff.
I'm just getting to the point where we find out who the Doom Patrol is, because the major cast are a group of, it's kind of like The Watchmen in the sense where it's a group of misfit superheroes.
Yep, I know who, I know Doom Patrol. Yeah, all right. I know.
It in itself is great because DC is poking a lot of fun at itself, like making fun of the fact that they're finally trying to get it right. A lot of fourth wall breaking going on.
It's weird. They can't do movies right, but TV they're doing really well.
They are, and I think they're moving into that more because of their streaming service.
Yeah.
Than relying on their movies to, it's like, yes, okay, we can't compete with Marvel. We can't this is not going to happen. We're too late. But we can do this better because Marvel's seems to not get their TV shows.
They did at the start. The first Daredevil was really good.
First season of Daredevil was great.
Second season was okay.
First season of Punisher was great.
Yeah. I mean, they were all, like, a lot of those shows were really good, and then it just kind of went downhill from as the years progressed, you know what I mean? Like, it just...
Yeah. And Doom Patrol's very dark, very bloody. Timothy Dalton is in it.
Yeah.
Brendan Fraser's in it. One of the, I can't remember her name. She was from Orange is the New Black. Really interesting cast, very satirical, very dark, very, very bloody.
Well, you're going to get that when it's called the Doom Patrol.
Yeah,
right?
It is.
It's not called the Happy Patrol.
It's like it's like House of Cards in the same way that Kevin Spacey talks to you.
Oh, okay.
But Mr. Nobody, one of the characters, talks to you and narrates everything and talks about flashbacks and monologues and foreshadowing. Like, he's making fun of a lot of script-based things that are going on the show. I honestly, I suggested if you've got Crave,
I just got
check
Crave.
It out.
You just got Crave.
I just got it.
You get that free month. Crave is not a sponsor, but you do get a free month.
Because I watched everything on Netflix, so on my mom's Netflix, so now I finally bought my own stream. So, hey, I finally made that last adulthood.
You got it. You got the adulthood marker.
Yeah, because I'm paying for my own streaming now.
Yeah, huge, you don't have to.
Oh my god! So I got the house, I got the kid, I got the wife, I got the streaming service.
You're full blown.
Holy shit! Yeah. Oh, cheers to that.
Cheers to
checked all the boxes. Cheers to that. Definitely.
To growing up.
Oh my god! I'm an adult now. Only at 36.
You've beaten all of us.
Am I 36?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, we have our own streaming accounts here.
I have my own streaming account. Yeah. I don't have a kid. I don't have a wife.
Better late than never, Steven.
Oh, it feels so weird. I feel so different now.
Welcome to the club.
Does the air feel a little crisper?
is there more stride in your step?
I think so.
Trailer. Let's get to the trailer of the week. The shitty trailer of the week, in my opinion. But what do we think of Sonic the Hedgehog so far?
I like Jim Carrey as Dr. Robotnik. I thought he would have put on a little more weight, but I don't mind him as it.
It's a modern version of the cartoon.
Well, he'll probably end up wearing a suit that makes him look fat.
Yeah.
Like, he'll probably wear some robotic type suit.
Well, in the end of the trailer, they had him bald, and then he was still skinny, I think, though.
But, like, he'll probably have some sort of battle suit, I bet, that he'll end up going in and make him...
Well, I had a Sega, so, I mean, I know all about Sonic.
The best part of the whole trailer was just that the tagline. Like, every hero has a Genesis.
Yeah. That was pretty cool. Okay, that was pretty neat.
All right.
Yeah,
I know what you're doing, but I still like it.
Oh, that's a double entendre, right? That's what that is. One word, two meanings.
Yeah. Interesting to see James Marsden.
Right?
Marsden in there doing Sonic.
Well, Westworld takes like 2 years to film, so I'm sure he's got some time in between making that shit and waiting for it to come out and do what he wants. Who's the voice? Did anybody check the voice?
I did it. Do you want to look it up real quick?
Yeah, hang on here.
Yeah, I don't know. I just, I, I, I'm still on the fence about it. I don't have high expectations.
No.
You know what I mean?
Well, right out of the gate, having to go back to the computer screen and redo his teeth. How are his teeth the worst part of that trailer? Like,
aren't they redoing like his whole?
I think they're redoing his whole thing because nerds complained.
Well, yeah,
eyes weren't big enough.
Teeth was where it started, and
I didn't even notice that.
Neither did I. And then they
just his eyes.
They kind of zoomed in on it. Where is it here? IMDb. There we go. Wow, it's if. I hope this is the right one. Says it was released in Russia. So it's probably not anywhere near close to what we're talking about. Oh, Ben Schwartz is the voice of Sonic.
What was he in?
Let's see here. He also did movies and TV shows. Here we go. He's been in DuckTales, House of Lies. Ooh. The Lego movie. Lots of voice work he's done by the looks of it. Not a lot of.
He was in The Other Guys.
He was in The Other Guys. Yeah, I see that here too.
The Walk movie with what's his name? Joseph Gordon Levitt.
Oh, yeah, the trapeze artist one. Yeah. Mm. How to Be a Latin Lover. Not a lot of A list movies. Oh, he was in The Interview. We'll see. We'll see what he can do. So I guess.
I'm surprised it's not like a A list or like Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah, it's Pikachu. Right?
Like normal nowadays, in TV shows, they still use voice actors who are great and talented, but you won't know their name or face. And in movies, they tend to go with the A-list. Yeah. You know,
like Bradley Cooper. Bradley Cooper, I think, was he one of the first with Rocket?
No.
Yeah, like
it started like Shrek or earlier.
I think you're
Toy
just
Story.
Looking at...
Toy Story is probably...
Oh, yeah, Tom Hanks. Yeah, okay, that's what I mean.
But what I think you're looking at is live-action voice work, right? Like Ryan Reynolds doing Pikachu.
Yeah, that's what I meant. Like, not just a cartoon movie, but I meant like a live-action with a cartoon kind of CG
Yeah,
character.
Any voice work in a movie, I bet you, started with...
That was so... I love that movie.
Did you guys see the new Chucky poster, how it plays into Toy Story's release?
No.
They're releasing...
The
dead Woody in the background, like Chucky's walking, like you just see Chucky's boot, and then you see Woody in the hat.
Is this like a reboot or a re?
I don't know what the new Chucky is.
Or is it just a continuation of the saga?
I don't know. No, it can't be because there's actually like a shit ton of Chucky's because all of them are shot in Winnipeg.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The home
there's like five or six Chucky movies and they're all shot in Winnipeg.
Do you know how that came to be? Was
no
that...
idea, but but everyone's worked on a Chucky movie apparently.
Well, I'm just thinking about that at work every time I hear, like when someone calls me at work, I can see their call display and I'll put their number into the screen and they'll come up on the Chucky film. Chucky 3, Chucky 9, Chucky's still here. Like,
yeah,
Chucky's not going anywhere.
Yeah.
I don't remember. Sorry, go back to the trailer. I don't remember the story of Sonic the Hedgehog. I just remember playing it as a kid.
It's just the robot guys trying to trash the environment and shit like
that. Yeah, but was he an alien or I don't... I thought
he was just an evil doctor.
No, but I meant like Sonic. Like in the movie, he says he's an alien or something. Like, you know what I mean? He's like, I think he says...
Dr. Robotnik?
No, Sonic is an alien. He's sent there to protect... He says something like, I'm here to protect your planet.
Yeah.
And when he says your planet, it's not his planet. So, I mean, it makes me think he's an extraterrestrial.
Oh. No, I have no idea. I just know you have to collect those rings.
Yeah, I know. I don't know.
Oh, whatever. Moving on to something we do actually know something about. There's a lot of I don't knows here. We've got a different sort of format. We've got a stripped down version. There's only three of us here this week. And we decided to take a different approach. We left the boxing gloves at home and want to do more of a fireside conversation, as Pearls of Wisdom Steve in the Corner called it. In honor of May the 4th be with you, which is today, correct?
Yep, it's today.
I think before we get into this, though, we would be remiss if we didn't pay homage to the late Peter Mayhew
and do our favorite Chewbacca quotes.
Yeah,
yeah, favorite Chewie quote.
So, I don't know who wants to. Who wants
you can
to
start it, Mike.
I can start first.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is Han and Chewie fixing the Millennium Falcon. And Han is yelling at him to, what is he's asking for a tool. And Chewie comes up and responds ever so eloquently,
It's a great line.
It's a great line.
Great
right?
line. Like, good yeah. line.
I'm pretty sure that was ad lib. I think that was.
I could be. I didn't have the script line in front of me, so I just kind of pulled from what I know. Martin, what do you? What's your favorite Chewie quote?
I don't. Mine need no explanation because I think the world will get it. So it's.
Oh, totally.
Right?
Yeah.
Right? Remember that scene?
Exactly. That's
crazy.
Tearjerker.
Yeah.
I really got me in the feelings.
Got
there.
You. Hit you in all the feels. Hits you in all the feels.
Steve, what would you like to bring?
I always like, you know, the subtle stuff. And so mine's when Han's trying to give Chewie some flying instructions to, you know, fly casually.
Yes.
And so Chewie's response is simply, I'll fly casually.
Oh, Peter Mayhew, we'll miss you. So the new format, well, the format for today is just more or less an open conversation about some of the things that we've come to learn over the years about Star Wars. Well, Steve, you mentioned something earlier that we were talking about before we started recording, the initial transition before the actual transition, am I correct about that? Like when you really first started to see the changing of the series.
Oh, when those remastered versions came out in the 90s.
Yeah.
So the whole thing is like for us, you know, in our mid 30s, we grew up with Star Wars on VHS. Like you never saw it in the theater.
The
it was all yeah. For me, it was always at the cabin. That's where that's where I first saw Star Wars. And so we spent our entire teenage years, development years, only knowing Star Trek.
Star Wars.
Whoa.
I did watch a lot of Star Trek too when I was a kid. Star Wars off a tape on tiny little TVs.
Yeah.
With tracking problems. And so when they were going to come out and re-release them in theaters, which, you know.
I definitely saw it.
Which was a huge thing. But they came out with those remastered versions with extra little scenes and more CGI. And a few little twists and changes, and it was the first signs of, you know, bastardization, maybe.
Yeah.
Of the whole franchise.
A little
red flags here and there.
The, like, scenes that you knew incredibly well all of a sudden had some random CGI'd animal dropped into it, like when they first get to...
It's not... Like, the thing that bugged me the most, well, let's just talk about it. The first scene was when Greedo shoots first.
He's a
space pirate.
Yeah, like you you grew up knowing one way of that situation.
That's why everyone wanted to be him. Like that was part of the reason. He's like he takes no shit from anybody. And
it is such an argued like it when I looked into kind of just researching what we could talk about that hadn't been talked about. That one always came up, but it is really a big point of contention for some people because it's your first introduction to Han.
Yeah.
Right, so you're getting the lay of the land of the character.
That was legit your first introduction to Han Solo.
Yeah.
He was not in the movie until that moment. Actually, no, he was. They were talking about that was a scene. When they were like trying to negotiate the flight.
Yeah.
And then everyone leaves, and then all of a sudden Greedo gets there, and he's like, well, yeah. Boom. That was the first scene of Han Solo.
And after seeing the switch around, yeah, you were like, wait a minute, that's not how that happened.
No.
And then... you were mentioning the stepping on Jabba the Hutt's tail.
Well, the added Jabba the Hutt scene.
Yeah.
And then his tail getting stepped on because he had to explain why Han Solo was walking around him like that so closely. Because, you know, when they originally shot it, it was just some dude in costume. And then later on, they decided to make him a giant slug.
Yeah.
And so Han couldn't do that walk around him based off of how we know Jabba shaped. So they had to have this little...
And it's so cheesy. It's not...
Also, it makes, like... Sorry, I'm going to go back to the Greedo scene.
Yeah, no, do it.
It makes his journey, like, less, you know what I mean, as a character, because he starts off as this total just gun for hire, no feelings, fights for no flag, all he cares about is money. And then eventually in the series, he becomes a dude who, like, well, I kind of like these people. Like, these people become my family sort of deal.
Yeah, he has a conscience.
Like, but... That like that's gone, like you don't see that progression anymore. When he shoots, kind of second.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. And he did it like not just that, but he did it so nonchalantly. Like he just killed somebody, and then he's like, he goes to the bartender, flips him a coin, sorry for the mess. And I'm like, that's fucking badass. Like, he just
that is really
badass. Doesn't care. He just killed the dude, doesn't care about it. Here's some money for, you know. And like, and he murdered a dude. He didn't do it in self-defense. He murdered a dude.
Stone cold killer.
Yeah. Which takes away, I think that takes away from, like, the way they redid it. It takes away from his character arc, his story of, you know, his road to finding something, finding a purpose in life sort of deal.
Yeah.
Which is the Rebel Alliance and Leia and sort of deal.
And also being, like, the older, I guess, not so much father figure to Luke, but, like, just
older
kind of
teenage brother.
Yeah, older brother. Teenage brother. Yeah, that's it, right? Like, having someone, he's starting to look out for other people. He's not just considering himself. So on and so
the
forth.
The older teenage brother is someone who would try to cock block his younger brother.
That's true.
That's pretty much what he was doing the entire series. Before we knew they were related, he's totally cock blocking. He's like, looks like I got a hard on for this girl, but Han's like, hey, what do you think? Me and her? Guy like me? Princess like her? No, never. Never. They're just like, oh.
Yeah, the scruffy nerf herder, right? Like, yeah. That's not the way I wanted to find out who he was. With this transition you're talking about, it kind of bleeds into what did we
prequels?
Yeah,
prequels.
What did we get from the prequels? Like what are some good takeaways and some bad
Natalie
takeaways?
Portman.
All right, yeah, that's
Ewan McGregor as Obi-Wan was actually pretty good,
which
I liked it.
If there's ever an origin story, it can't be anybody.
He's got to be playing.
He's got to be playing.
Not even an origin story. Just like there's a lot of years between Episode 3 and Episode 4 where Obi-Wan was just sitting there on Tatooine doing nothing.
Yeah,
or doing something.
Yeah,
I don't know. He could have been doing stuff, watching Luke. I don't know. But I liked Ewan McGregor as Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Based off of New Hope, he was doing nothing.
Yeah, that's
because
right.
If he was doing stuff, then people would have known there was a Jedi there, and then that would have.
He was just laying low.
So there should not be a Han Solo movie in between those episodes because he was sitting on his butt doing nothing, overlooking
the Force.
That's true. Well, it's Episode 3 was when he was like, they were like, I'm going to introduce you to some new training. At the end of Episode 3, Yoda says, I have some new training for you to.
Oh, the
so you learn how to communicate. Yeah, become a Force ghost at the end.
Yeah.
That's what he introduces in Episode 3 in the canon. So I don't know. Could have technically been doing something. But I don't know.
You don't know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Back to the takeaway thing, though. Like, where do you draw. I'll rephrase that. Not where do you draw the line, but let's go in order here. Phantom Menace, Attack of the Clones.
Sorry, before we go to that.
Yeah, sure.
Another thing that we got from the original, like not the original, sorry, the first three series. No, the first three, episode 1, 2, and 3, soundtrack. I thought that was an amazing, Duel of the Fates, probably one of the best battle songs in any, like come on, that was an amazing song.
John Williams is amazing.
Same thing with Across the Stars. I think that was a better love song than Han Solo and Leia's love song. Like I think John Williams really, the soundtrack for, if you listen to the soundtrack for the first three movies, they're amazing. I think John Williams really nailed his stride in the universe.
I played like a medley of four songs in high school band. Like 1 year we did the Star Wars thing for a Christmas concert. Playing them is so much fun. Like it's just like, it's big and boisterous and like you're sitting there and you're playing the notes from like my favorite childhood sci-fi series,
yeah,
right? Like
mine too.
There was nothing better than that, but you're right. Like it writing scores, like scores that are written these days. I mean, I'm not, we're by no means any trained composer, but he knew how to write mood.
Mm-hmm.
I think is what you're getting at.
I think it was probably the worst movie in the series, but Episode 2 soundtrack was probably one of my favorite soundtracks in the Star Wars.
So you're doing that thing that makes me, like, I'm trying to figure out, are you talking about Episode 5 or
episode? No, Episode 2.
Episode
when
two,
I'm talking,
attack, okay.
When I say numbers, I mean the
Attack of
like
the Clones.
The order in which they are supposed to come out.
Okay.
So it's Episode 2, Attack of the Clones.
Okay, yeah. Any, like, Phantom Menace, what about the introduction of midichlorians? Like, that where is that?
That actually, I was reading about that. That I think he stole it from another series. I forget.
Well that's Star Wars is. That's what Star Wars is.
Star Wars is a
stolen
collection
from
of
others.
Yeah, pretty much.
he
midichlorians
borrows
in general,
heavily.
Yeah, yeah.
Borrows heavily from multiple sources.
It negates the fact of what Obi-Wan said in A New Hope was, it's an energy field created by the universe. It surrounds us, binds us, brings us all together. And then when you say that they're living cells, you're just like, well, I guess it's really, is it an energy field still? Or?
Yeah, it takes away sort of the religious, like, faith aspect and makes it biology.
Yeah, and you had these three movies that laid out this pretty in-depth idea of what the Force is, and then, yeah, you go and change it to, well, you have it and you don't, and maybe you don't have all of it, and you have a ton of it. Like, that doesn't jive well with me. It never did. Like, and then they drop it after that, right? Like, it's this...
well, they don't talk about it in Episode 7 anymore. They're just like, well, it's just the Force.
Yeah, it's like, well, that didn't work. Like Jar Jar, well, that didn't work.
I read that he wanted to kill himself. Like, he strongly considered suicide after the backlash of Misa Jar Jar Binks.
Lucas?
No, not George Lucas. The guy who played Jar Jar Binks was like...
It's not his fault.
No, it's totally it's not his fault. It's the studio's fault for wanting to make stupid characters so that they can make better toys. That's all that I think Jar Jar Binks was just...
Started with Return of the Jedi, let's be honest.
Yeah, with what?
Yeah.
No. What are you talking about?
Do we want to get to that right now, or do we have more to talk about in other points?
No, we're all over the map today. We don't have
Ewoks. Because originally it was supposed to be Kashyyyk, the planet, because of the Wookiees. That was supposed to be the race that overthrows the Empire, and it would have made sense because the Empire enslaved all the Wookiees.
Yeah, totally.
When they took over.
And they're big and strong and technologically advanced.
But then, like, I think when I was reading, Lucas wanted a more primitive race to overthrow the Empire. So he created a new one, which was pretty much just shorter Wookiees. Because there's so many, like, they're both kind of like furry animals, and they both live in trees in like a forest kind of climate area. They both live up top. Like, all their housing is...
Yeah, it's like
above the ground.
It's been traced over top, basically, and shrunken down
and
in some ways.
Like, but you know, I'll say this: I didn't like it, but goddamn, fucking Ewoks are so cute. Like, I always wanted an Ewok stuffed animal.
As a kid,
they were so expensive.
As a kid, when they fight, that was actually. I loved it, actually, as a kid.
Yeah.
You know, when they crush the walker with the tree branches and all that crap. And then as an adult...
the giant rock swinging. Yeah.
Yeah. This doesn't make sense.
And then as an adult, I'm like, what the fuck?
Yeah. Like, you're like, this never happens. And then, like, I'm just like, they're hitting them with bows and arrows and rocks. I'm like, what the hell good is Stormtrooper armor for?
Yeah.
Like, you get hit by arrows? Is that's it? Like, what's the point of wearing it? You might as well just wear a t-shirt.
It's such
be able to breathe.
An archaic defense system.
Yeah.
Like, poking you with, like, you keep bringing up the poking something with a stick, Steve, every time we talk. And that's literally what this is sticks and bows and rocks. And when they, like, wrap the legs up, I'm thinking Empire. Do they wrap the legs up with, like, a wire?
That's an Empire. That's
on Hoth.
Hoth. Yeah.
When they get the AT-ST
with the speeders,
down, but
with the speeders.
But don't they do that to like the little walker, the AT?
No, they put the logs under it.
That's
it. Falls
over. Something. And then because I'm just imagining it like drunkenly walking on Endor and then getting knocked over. They're clearly New Hope and Empire being the darkest of the original three. But clearly there was something with Return where it started to get very childlike.
Yeah.
And I think they saw the marketing after the first two. And
merchandising, as Yogurt says.
Well, yeah.
Spaceballs, that's where the money's at.
It's almost like, George Lucas, do you make movies just to make rights for something so that you can make more money? Or do you actually give a shit about the... Like, I mean, you obviously did give a shit about the movie you're making, but... The Star Wars on a bag of apples.
It just made no sense.
Yeah, like, and that's kind of where I think it started, where it stopped making sense, was Ewoks are for the kids, right? Bring the kids into the theater so that the kids want to buy the toys. Ewoks are cute and cuddly. They're not threatening in any way, shape, or form. Ewoks are they Jim Henson? Am I right on that? Were they Jim Henson?
I don't know.
But that's a bad way to die. Imagine that if you're a stormtrooper and you're beaten to death by furry paws.
You're the scourge of the galaxy.
You're just like, I'm gonna, like, you know, like furry paws just punching you to death. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then probably eaten.
I think so. I don't think they were going to eat everyone else. They probably ate them.
Like they had.
Remember the scene at the end when the dude had like the drums, but with the stormtrooper helmets.
Yeah.
And I'm like, there's no more heads under those.
They took no prisoners.
Also, I just checked it out. He aided a lot of the puppeteers on Star Wars, but they weren't directly. Did you guys ever see the Ewok spinoff movies from when you were kids? Do you remember
those? I remember the Christmas special.
There's a cartoon too.
Wicket the show.
There was two movies that I think there was two. I know there was definitely one. Return to Endor.
I'm pretty sure I saw it when I was a kid, but yeah. I don't remember. It's been so long.
It was not even set in the same. Like they were just like, hey, these things made money. We should make a movie about it, and it wasn't even set.
There was
in the
a Christmas special too, wasn't
it? I just remember the cartoon.
Yeah,
we are the Ewoks.
We've all seen something neither of us. Like, I didn't know there was a Christmas special.
They're cute. Like I always like when I went to Disneyland as a kid. I always wanted an Ewok stuffed animal, but they were so expensive. My parents wouldn't buy me one. So I was like sad for days, and I would throw a fit at home so much. I'm like, I want a fucking Ewok. And we're like, I think they're like $60 to $80. And this is like in the maybe the '80s or nineties.
Wow, that's expensive.
Late '80s, early '90s. Yeah.
To kind of continue with the marketing thing.
Now that I'm an adult, when I go back to Disneyland, I'm fucking buying myself an Ewok stuffed animal.
Oh,
I'm buying them all.
I will if you don't for you. That's not something you should deny yourself anymore. But with like I get the fast food marketing thing, I get the toy thing. But when you see Star Wars on the side of yogurt, that's like, come on.
Yeah.
Like there comes a point where that's just tacky, in my opinion. I mean, have you guys ever seen like some of the most what's the wackiest thing you've ever seen?
Was there cereal at some point?
Well, cereal's kind of in the okay column.
It's like toothpaste and shit.
Yeah, that kind of thing, I guess. Like, you shouldn't rely on Star Wars to teach your children.
Don't take away my Yoda toothbrush, you fucks. Let me have that as an adult still.
I mean, I'm not saying I don't have a Yoda toothbrush. I'm just saying that, like, if you want your children to brush their teeth, you should teach them to brush their teeth instead of being like, Yoda said brush your teeth.
Yeah.
Right, that maybe that's just.
But I mean, it's just like you should, like, as an investor, you want to make the most money as possible. I'm just saying you can do that and not destroy the movies. You know what I mean?
Which they did, and that's the whole thing. Like the first three, amazing. The prequels, completely designed for marketing, and now that with Force Awakens and The Last Jedi,
Force Awakens is okay. I didn't mind it. Like, I mean, it was basically like A New Hope, but on steroids. But still. They like it's kind of like we're passing on the torch. Like this is like we want to pay tribute because the previous three movies before that was just like what the fuck just happened, and this is like, well, we gotta pay homage to what these guys did.
Yeah,
and then we can sort of branch into our own. But well, even then, I don't know.
That's what Abrams was riding the coattails of. He was riding the coattails of Return. So it's not like he had to make a sequel to Revenge of the Sith.
Yeah.
Like, nobody could make a movie after Revenge of the Sith that would be worthy. You mentioned the first three.
Sorry, were you talking about Revenge of the Sith?
I guess. I don't know.
Which one are you talking about?
I'm talking about...
Like, which movie can they make a sequel from?
Okay, so Force Awakens is running off of the original three.
Yeah.
But the prequels, there was, like... The drawing board was completely open. They could do whatever they want. They just made a lot of mistakes.
Yeah,
I think. But when you're saying that Force Awakens is paying tribute, they're paying tribute to the first three, as opposed to somebody trying to pay tribute to the prequels.
Mm-hmm.
Man, this is it's such a weird way that they made these movies. I always wish that they would have been done in the right order originally. But I mean, wishing one hand, shit in the other. But how psyched were you when the first one came out? Were you at the theaters like first night? I remember I was at St. Vitale Theater.
Oh, dude, I was there for the midnight show.
Did you see the camping that took place at the St. Vitale parking lot? Like,
I wasn't camping, but I legit pretty much just first day. Like, yeah. I was there for the midnight show. I waited. I think I got there like around sometime in the evening, maybe around 9.
Okay.
Like 3 hours before, and just I got in. I got like decent seats. It wasn't like the best seats in the house, but decent seats still. And yeah, I was there. I was there. Save a Thousand when I saw it. Midnight show, camping.
That was absolutely nuts. There was like Chewbacca and Han Solo playing Frisbee in the parking lot. And just like Star Wars mania going on. It was one of like the happiest places I'd ever.
Oh, it's great. Like it's one of those things, like Steve said, like as a kid, we got We got the remakes, but we never got like new content. And you know what I mean? Like, this was like an exciting time for me as a Star Wars fan because we actually got new footage of what's going to happen. I don't know.
It was part of your childhood as opposed to being a part of your parents' childhood.
Yeah.
Steve, like, do you remember your Phantom Menace viewing? Your night?
My Phantom Menace?
That sounds like a disease.
Whoa. You too can prevent Phantom Menace with proper...
Don't watch it.
Double bag it, folks. I can't remember what my Phantom Menace viewing experience was. It was all I know I saw all three in the theaters. And I remember being like, okay... When I watched it,
like, where's the rest of it?
I definitely don't like it. I definitely liked it because I like movies. I find things I like about them. Anything that I watch, but I remember, and I know I like them less over the years. But the biggest thing was like it just kept going, and it was kind of just boring.
It did have its slow parts. Like, Phantom Menace did have a lot of slow, like the middle.
Like the trade dispute between the it's like, well, okay.
Yeah. Why do we need to...
Why do I have to see a Senate meeting in this movie? Yeah, I don't want to see this.
Like, yeah. You know, now we're filibusting. Wait, what? Like, okay. I mean, I don't know where I heard this, but it's not an original thought, but at least we got to see what, like, Jedi can actually do.
Yeah, full extent.
Now, the fighting, I don't like all the super, like, you know...
Choreography?
Yeah, so much. But at least you got to see them use their powers more often and use about how they were, like, a force to be reckoned with.
I thought you were going to say a force erection with.
A force to be erected with.
Oh. I wonder if Yoda knew that trick. He could do the force ghost, but can he do the force direction?
Oh, that's, yeah. You'd think you'd be using that when it would be as old as he. Yeah, I was just gonna say. I'm like, he's ancient.
Yoda needs no pills.
He needs no. Yeah, that's like he doesn't need enough Viagra. He's like, he's good. Although they probably did have Viagra in that universe. They had like everything.
Well, they probably had a genetically cured when you're, you know. They're all Gattaca at that point. Everyone's a designer baby on Coruscant. Yeah.
You could probably just make your own dick size in the Star Wars universe. You know what I mean? Like you could mold your own dick. You'd be like, I want this dick. Probably done.
There's a whole episode about cloning, so definitely we've gotten all diseases.
You can grow your dick in a test tube and then surgically attach it, and you're good.
Suck your must. yeah.
No, but that's what I liked about it. Like I really the obviously for a lot of people, but for me especially, was like I love the Jedi aspect of Star Wars. Like this is a cool thing, dudes fighting with laser swords and using this weird power. Give me more of this. And that's what I think that I liked about the first three episodes, 1, 2, and 3, was the fact that you get to see what a Jedi actually is.
Totally. You really do. Because in the second one, in Attack of the Clones, they're an escort for Amidala. Right, they're protecting her.
They do.
So, like, whereas in the New Hope in Empire and Return, it's more of a ancient art at that point, right? Like, it's Luke finding out that he can, in fact, can train to be a Jedi, and then you're learning about this whole thing. Whereas it's like, okay, if this is an ancient fighting method and an ancient practice, then let's see some of that,
Wouldn't it have been funny if, like, in the prequels, like, it turns out lightsabers are just, like, ceremonial?
They're just something like, you hang on your wall.
I mean, they know how to use them. Like, samurai, when the samurai were ending,
yeah.
they all had the sword, and they all kind of trained with it, but they never actually used it.
They had gunpowder.
Because, exactly. It's like, why would I use this thing? I do have a blaster. Like, of course I'm going to use the gun. Are you an idiot?
Yeah, like, why bring a knife to a gunfight? That's an ancient saying. Like,
although, as we see in episode one, it can fucking melt through doors.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You're like,
well, it would be hilarious, or, like, you know, you built up, oh, that lightsaber. I'd still use a lightsaber. Like, why would I use a fucking lightsaber?
Really? Yeah. Give me my blaster.
Clumsy weapon.
It was an elegant weapon for a more civilized age.
The blaster aspect brings me to the when you hear about Obi-Wan mention that stormtroopers have impeccable aim.
Apparently not.
Apparently fucking not. Like, they can't shoot
not,
their way out
not
of a
when
wet...
you have plot armor.
Yeah.
which
is not good for deflecting stone arrows.
I was just going to say, I'm like, has zero effect on a rock.
Yeah, plot armor is way better than stormtrooper armor.
But I think that's just the running joke. It's just the whole series that stormtroopers have bad... everything. Like, they have bad aim. Like,
this perfect race of super soldier that was created, and then it just falls flat on its face.
And they make jokes throughout the whole series. You know what I mean? Of all the movies, like I think in Solo, one of the dudes is like, he takes off his stormtrooper. I was like, how do they breathe in these things? And just he can't, like, it's just, it's so claustrophobic. It is like, it's one of those things that just becomes a running joke throughout the series. They're terrible. They couldn't hit the side of a barn. But apparently they could hit the Jawa crawler, I think, pretty good.
Yeah, impeccable accuracy.
It'd be funny. I want to see, like, that scene remade, but just, like, they have, like, 100 stormtroopers all trying to shoot the sand crawler, and eventually, yes, they do get it just because they have the numbers, but if they had, like, 10, they couldn't even do close. You have to call in reinforcements. Like, we need more people shooting this Jawa crawler.
Drop off another troop ship. Like, fix this problem.
Oh, my gosh.
That's
fucking stormtroopers.
Fucking storm. It is the costume that, I mean, we went out one year Halloween, me and Martin, and I ordered the cheapest stormtrooper costume I could find at the last minute.
Very uncomfortable.
Super uncomfortable. And like, it, what's making me think of that is, and you're talking about in Solo when he's like, how do you breathe in these things? I got so drunk and I kept the mask on and I couldn't breathe. I couldn't exhale far enough out of the mask. So all it was just a mask holding in whiskey breath for like 3 hours. Ooh. And I was stumbling around, and it was a onesie. It was the worst onesie ever with like foam flap padding. So I was probably...
That like children wear?
Oh, yeah. Like just, it was like an XXL, right? But it was, I was just too tall for it. So I was walking around with a permanent stormtrooper onesie wedgie. Drunk as shit, trying, and then like by the time the end of the night came, I think we were walking home. I had the thing tied around my waist, like stumbling down with the helmet under my arm, stumbling down Main Street back to the hotel. Yeah,
that was a chore.
Those are like, like I thought about buying a stormtrooper costume at one point, and like a true, from the movie costume is about $1,000.
Wow.
But don't those, what are they called? The 50, what's the, they're like a regiment. They call themselves the cosplayers.
Oh, I don't know.
Oh, no, you're
something like that. I thought they actually built all their own.
The 501st?
Yeah.
Something like they call themselves something like that.
A lot of the cosplayers do the 3D printing. I've been reading these days, like those intense costumes.
I know it. Like one of my buddies in New York knows a dude who actually does all the 3D printing for, like, if you're a cosplayer, like if you want the actual stuff, he'll print it for you.
Oh, wow. That's probably going to be a pretty penny.
Like I was just like, he does a lot of stuff like not, he does Star Wars stuff for Marvel. He does a lot of Warhammer stuff too. So if you're ever doing that stuff, like, yeah, I mean, it's insane how much they cost though. It's expensive.
Yeah, no. Well, I mean, that just goes back to how much of a money printing machine this series is.
But 501st Legion.
501st Legion.
That's
probably named after the 501st Airborne, I would imagine, which was like Easy Company.
No, they're 101st.
Oh, 101st. Who was the 501st?
I don't know.
I don't know, Sergeant Navarro.
I don't know. I didn't mind. All right.
I wanted to kind of pose a one-off random question, but if we could live out of all of the planets that we've been exposed to in 8 movies, what would the planet you'd want to live on be, Martin?
Probably Naboo, just because it's
Naboo.
Yeah, I mean, Naboo. I don't know now. Like I was thinking Naboo initially, but
underwater travel's fun.
No, I mean, there's a lot of scary creatures underwater, so I don't know if I would do that. But I mean, the planet itself is essentially a paradise. I mean, do you remember all the scenes when Anakin and Padme were hanging out in episode 2.
Lots of castles, lots of...
Yeah, like a lot of waters,
no
a lot of waterfalls.
No sand.
It's everywhere.
No sand in your crotch. That's a definite...
But then I'd have to... My one strike against the Taboo was I have to deal with Gungans, which I don't really want to do.
Racist.
I just,
We're a Gungan loving family here.
You know what? I don't mind Gungans. I just don't like Jar Jar. I'll just say that.
Yeah.
I just.
Neither did the Gungans, actually.
Gungans were okay.
Yeah, they kicked him out.
Yeah, he was outcast.
Yeah, just Jar Jar was just so annoying. I think he just shot that entire thing for him. Like, I don't like this guy at all.
Yeah, do you think it's his voice, or do you think it's like, do you think it's the language, like his accent, I guess, or do you think it's his high pitched voice, or do you just think he's a useless character? Like, what is it?
Why did they need him? They had C-3PO in it. They had R2.
Yeah, I don't even think they're just getting greedy now with.
Well, have you seen like all the memes and videos where he's probably a Sith Lord?
Yeah.
Really? How it's all an act, and he's actually a Sith Lord. Because he's everywhere. He's the one that actually brings Palpatine to power in the end.
Yeah, that's
true. It was
like
his motion that got him to do it, and this is how he survived all those like things, is because he's actually
a Sith Lord.
Yeah.
Jesus. No, I've never seen that. That's like a fan theory, right? That's not like,
yeah,
there's no hard evidence.
Yeah, we'll YouTube it after this. It's hilarious.
Okay, perfect. Steve, what about you? What planet do you feel that you could migrate to? If Earth was done, where would you want to go?
If Earth was done, I'd choose Alderaan.
Which is about to be done pretty soon.
There's a bright future for Alderaan. Coming on up.
Alderaan is like a cameo planet.
Yeah.
it was there for a second.
Yeah.
What do we know about Alderaan, though? Like, general knowledge?
It's ruled by, I think, a monarchy.
Well, it has
the Organas. The Organas. Organas were the ones, the head house or family. There's a bunch of families in it, but the Organas, Leia's family, were the adopted
family.
Yeah, they were the ones who were ruling the planet.
Just spoiler.
But it's like a blue marble. It's got they've got snow, but they've also got like forest, lots of vegetation, lots of bodies of water. Like it legit seems like a nice place to live.
Unless it blows up.
And when it blows up, yeah, they're peaceful.
Just blows
people.
Up every once in a while.
They're very peaceful people with no weapons, like Leia said. You know, they can't defend themselves, so they need to.
Yeah. Okay, so here's like a little brief thing. It says, with Alderaan, it's all about the timing. As long as you die of old age shortly before the year Obi. Well, you had a perfectly marvelous life, and the Alderaan Tourism Board member, Bail Organa, once called a planet of beauty with enough nature, poetry, philosophy, art, culture, and cuisine to shake a swagger stick at.
It was probably one of the most beautiful planets in the entire universe, is from what I've read about it.
Yeah,
you can't be here for a long time, but
here for a good time. Good time.
Here for some poetry, some art, and a planet blast.
Yeah. Yeah. Front row seats, the biggest show on Earth.
Want to see the best fireworks show? Come to Alderaan. I thought about this in two ways. I thought the planet I could survive on the easiest would be Hoth, just because I feel it resembles Winnipeg in so many different ways.
Are you serious?
Yeah. Well, I thought about if I not where I hang on. No,
I'm
I don't
giving
wanna,
Mike this look. I'm giving Mike this look right now.
And to me, with a hand signal, like, come on. Like,
all these planets to choose from, and the easiest you think you can survive on is a Hoth? Are you
there's
kidding?
Nothing there.
Okay, hang on. What I said is I think I can survive there. Where I would want to go is Kashyyyk.
Okay.
Like, Kashyyyk is tropical.
I want to bring it back to Hoth after, because how you think you can survive, but bring Kashyyyk. Go ahead,
yeah,
go ahead.
Just Kashyyyk full of Wookiees. So, obviously, an advanced species that is probably one of the best huggers known to man in the galaxy.
Resemble.
Right? Yeah. which
you blend in the best there,
and like playing enough Star Wars Battlefront,
similar to Endor.
It's very similar to Endor. It's a forestry. It's a forest
planet,
blanketed planet. Cute fuzzy creatures.
Just don't beat them in space chest. You know what I mean?
Yeah, they'll rip your arm off.
Yeah,
and. I don't mind sand. I know Steve doesn't like sand, but I don't mind sand. And there's a lot of sand in Battlefront on the planet. So
there's beaches.
Yeah, it's a beachy planet. It's like going to the Bahamas in my mind. But if you, all right, I'll give you the floor. Go back to Hoth with me.
Yes. How do you think you could survive in Hoth, Mike? Please tell us.
I'm just saying
because I can't survive in Hoth. I don't think Steve, can you survive in Hoth?
I barely survived Winnipeg.
I'm just saying from our climate experience as Winnipeggers.
You do know there's no Safeway on Hoth, right?
Like,
how are you gonna get your food?
I hadn't thought that
there's
far
no
ahead.
Summer,
I was just thinking in climate related scenario, I'm thinking about the one planet that if I was forced to leave Earth, where would I somewhat be able
and
to survive?
And you pick the frozen barren planet of Hoth. You do realize your Tauntaun will not make it past the first marker.
Well, yeah,
in Hoth, right?
I'll be slicing that thing open and using it as a fucking blanket, obviously.
We all know it smells worse on the inside. Yeah.
It smells so bad on the outside.
It's just funny that you pick like an ice planet. It's so hard to live there. Like,
it's not my desire to live there. Kashyyyk is my, if I could book a ticket, I would go to Kashyyyk.
Sorry, I'm just going to rephrase that. It's that you think you can survive on Hoth when I don't think anyone, none of us
we've,
really could.
We've all been through a minus 50 in Winnipeg. So I'm just saying we're somewhat climatized from minus 250. We're not all the way there,
yeah.
But we're somewhat relatable. I know, yes, there's no Safeway. There's no Starbucks. There's nowhere to park my car. Like, you know.
There's no roads. There's no roads on Hoth, Mike. It's just one. Imagine
it's
like, hey,
snow.
Imagine just there's no city in Winnipeg and that's the winter. That's all Hoth is. There's no city. It's just snow. From miles and miles.
What can I say? I'm confident. I'm a positive thinker.
Oh, I want to take bets on that one. Do you want to take the over or under on 3 days, Steve? Actually, you know what? Let's make it more interesting. 2 days.
It's going to be like
8 hours.
He'll set,
8 hours.
Yeah, he'll set foot out of whatever transported there and be like, "Fuck this shit.
Yeah, I'm out."
I was planning on going to Kashyyyk. How the fuck did I end up here?
Other notable planets, though.
Yeah,
Coruscant is I guess the galactic center. The whole planet is one big city.
Yeah.
I think that if you like, in terms of, like if you were a very city person, like if you love New York,
like the New York.
I think that's the New York of Star Wars, and I mean it's got the culture, it's got the fashion, it's got the restaurants. But it probably smells like shit in the summer. So.
Getting a Yelp review from Martin over here on Coruscant.
TripAdvisor. Oh, be sure to check out.
I'm pretty sure they got some good Jawa juice there. So, you know.
There really is a planet for everybody.
Organic Jawa juice imported straight from.
You can gamble if you want. You can go check out the Jedi Temple before it got destroyed.
Before all the younglings got...
Was that Yavin that the Jedi Temple was on? Yavin?
No, no. The original Jedi Temple... Well, I guess not the original, but the original when Yoda was still in the Order...
Council.
The Council. Was,
oh, yes.
And, was on Coruscant.
Was on Coruscant,
because that was the I guess, the home of the Republic.
Yeah.
But yeah.
What about Dagobah?
No. No.
Giant swamp?
Yeah. You want to live in a swamp?
I'm not buying a timeshare at Dagobah, but
you're going to get malaria and just... die of dysentery.
Yeah, you can't. That water is definitely not polluted.
You
although
will
I was,
die of
I
dysentery.
Was curious of what porridge Yoda was making, and can I have some of that?
Right, you're picking all the places that people only lived there because they're hiding from.
Yeah, they have to live there.
I like a good hideout. What can I say? Yeah. I'm trying to avoid the Republic. So you know,
I have a question for you, Mike.
Sure. Yeah.
So if you lived in Dagobah and you went to that Force cave. Where Luke sees Darth Vader.
Yeah.
What would you see?
What would you see?
Oh.
Because, you know, that's the test of the mirror, right?
It is,
so that's one of the trials of the Jedi. The test of the mirror is you go into the cave and whatever you bring with you is what you see, which is why when Luke went in the cave and he brought all his weapons, that's why he saw Darth Vader. That was a test and he failed it.
Interesting. I don't have that much Star Wars lore under my belt, but I should because you bought me the Jedi book.
Yeah, I brought you the Code of the Jedi.
You bought me the Code of the Jedi. I've read it. Don't get me wrong, but I've read it in like 3 minute increments while I'm in the toilet. So like,
so what would you see in the cave?
What would I see?
What would you bring with you to Dagobah? And then that's what you would bring in the cave.
Well, it's not what you bring. It's not necessarily the weapons you bring in the cave. It's what it's
emotions
it's
and all that stuff. Yeah,
right?
your emotional
it's what
baggage.
You're hung up on. It's
yeah.
It's your fear.
So what would you see? What fears you?
I would see Fat Michael. I would see Michael holding a giant laundry basket full of cheeseburgers.
Spoiler alert. So if you haven't seen the new Endgame, just give me like 3 minutes. So you would see yourself as...
I haven't seen the Endgame.
You can't even talk about it here.
Damn it. All right.
Spoiler alert. All right. The theaters have been booked for like solid for 2 weeks.
Okay. I won't bring it up.
That's funny. Hang on. Spoiler alert. Everybody listening, including Steve.
Yeah. Yeah.
I totally forgot you haven't seen it.
Well, I step away and can't listen to this, my own podcast.
I know what you're going for, Martin.
Yeah.
You know, and everyone's listening. Yeah. And I'll know in a few days. But.
Yeah. You'll get there.
What would you see in the cave? Steve?
If I was bringing my, if it was reflecting my baggage and shit like that, yeah, it's going to be like sugar.
Just a giant.
It's just going to be like, it's just going to be like a computer game and like, and like candy. And that'd be like, oh yeah, okay. Like, you know, that would definitely be my, you know, my inner fight. Right there.
All your inner demons just coming
lose.
To play.
I would lose so fast.
The pile of gumdrops and
if it was yeah, if it was a bag of wine gums and, you know, Sega Genesis, it's like, okay, guess this is my new home.
I'm not coming out of this cave.
Yeah, just never leaving the cave.
I don't know what Yoda was talking about. This is great.
Test? Come on. What would you see, Martin?
If it was all my inner demons and all my vices, then it would probably be like just unlimited supply of really good scotch whiskey or bourbon and a big bag of MDMA. Just all the MDMA in the world. I don't think I'd ever stop popping it. I just keep rolling.
Like a Scrooge McDuck type of vault of MDMA. Yeah, you're just diving in and swimming.
I'm just like, this is the best day ever.
Throwing him in the air, catching him in his mouth, chasing it with a bottle of Tullamore Dew. Wow.
Yeah. It would be Buffalo Trace bourbon, by the way.
Sure.
Tullamore is a good Irish, but nothing beats the buff.
Nothing beats the
Yoda
buff.
Yoda would be so disappointed in us.
we would clearly fail the mirror test.
How feel you? Drunk, master. Really fucking drunk.
Drunk I am. What? J.J. Abrams. I kind of wanted to save this one to the end because there's a lot surrounding him. But
we still have a couple more.
Yeah, we do. There's lots here.
I liked the first one that he did.
Do you think he can save with the third one?
I hope so. I mean, I really did not like the second one.
Rian Johnson should not have been given $1 billion.
Is it
franchise.
Ryan or Rain? How do you pronounce it? Rain or Ryan?
I think it's
really it's spelled weird, right?
It's R-I.
Rain.
Rain Johnson, right?
I'm pretty sure it's Rain.
But I just really did not like the second movie in that series, and
I liked half of it.
There were some
elements
parts
of it that were great. The whole like Rey and Kylo thing was awesome.
It was cool, but everything else?
Yeah, the whole and then it introduced fuel, which was like, okay, we have to worry about
Starship fuel
now. Right. And then they did the whole suicide shot thing, which is cool. Like, it's a great visual and like moment. Should have been Leia, of course.
That's true.
Doing it. Mm-hmm. But then you think about, oh, why didn't they just do that to the Death Star?
Yeah. Also, the yeah,
because then you wouldn't have a series.
No, I know, but that's the problem with that. But the whole like Rey and Kylo thing and being connected and being made to be connected,
that was cool.
And then fighting together, and then having to make a choice. And it really should have ended. Oh, I saw this somewhere else as well. See, none of these are my own ideas.
Mm.
I'm so unoriginal. But it, like, someone was sort of talking about how if the movie ended with him offering his hand, like, we can do this together, and her look at the hand, and her like, huh, and then cut to black, and that was the end of it. It's like, boom, there you go. That would totally have set up the
also,
third one.
Also, just
like,
eliminate the whole casino planet.
I
would have been fine eliminating that whole thing.
The password keeper, who was that?
I don't know.
That was so...
It was, what's his name? Benicio Del Toro's character. I'm just like, why did they even have this?
Captain Phasm going down like a little bitch.
Yeah, I love Brianna Tarth.
I really needed more. If you haven't seen Luke Skywalker in 30 years... I don't want a grumpy Luke Skywalker. I want a Luke, like, I get that he's cut ties, but I just read a theory recently this week, which is where, like, when he has that moment with Leia, when they finally speak through the Force, I read in a theory about the next one coming up that Luke cut himself off from the Force. Like, he basically took his belief in the whole system and cut himself off, which is why he couldn't see or talk to Leia and communicate like you're tripping over there.
Yeah, a little bit.
Like Kylo and
Rey,
thank you.
But they're being set up by Snoke.
Exactly, they're being set up by Snoke, so that's where Luke has been so distant, because he's been cut off. But the fact that he was like angry and crotchety,
well,
it's just that was not...
I think they just went too far with it. I don't mind them. Like, again, there was a great point where what happened when the Jedi, when Obi-Wan and all those guys and Yoda lost? What happened? They went away. They hid. That's they closed them off from everybody else. They said, you know what, this is too powerful for anyone else to handle, so maybe we shouldn't be messing with it. Blah, blah, blah.
And when you when you compare it in that light, I see it, because Yoda was, the last thing Yoda wanted to do was train somebody again. So he was kind of standoffish too.
Yeah.
On Dagobah, in comparison to Rey wanting to go after Luke. Okay, yeah, I can see eventually when you become a Jedi, you just become a shit heel at the end of your life.
Yeah.
Is kind of the running theory. And then the wink in the end, you know, like the wink in the gun almost when he looks over it, when he's floating by and he gives that wink in the end and they blast him. I'm talking about Luke.
Oh, when like shoot him with everything and he kind of dusts himself off, like,
yeah.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's not the Luke I remember. It's the Luke I'm forced to live with.
Cocky Luke.
Cocky Luke, right? But yeah. But at the same time, it really,
it is 30 years. A lot has happened. And he also knows that, like, being cocky like that, he knows, like, they're not going to hurt him and they can't because he's not there, right? So,
well, that was the big trick was, yeah, was that we were all set up to believe that was him, and then he was gone.
Yeah.
And that was probably my favorite part of the whole movie was that. We were just, while you were away, we're talking about the cocky Luke at the end of The Last Jedi.
Oh, yeah.
When he's brushing the dust off his shoulders.
He's got his confidence back.
Yeah, exactly. When he's got
how Luke Skywalker got his groove back.
I was just going to say.
The last part of
Stella taught Luke something.
Yeah.
He got his mojo back. He died.
Do we think anybody else could have done Star Wars instead of J.J. Abrams? Have any of us thought of that? Like any other director?
I haven't really thought about another director. I mean,
like, what if Spielberg shot his two cents in? Do you think he could have? I mean, yes, he was so involved in the original, but like, do you think he should have been the one to kind of take it from Lucas?
I don't think he would do it.
Yeah, I mean we're all hypothetically speaking, but
I don't know. Having fanboy JJ do it is pretty cool. He's better at it than Star Trek.
Yeah, I didn't mind the new remakes of Star Trek. I mean, it was, for what it was, as a good action movie, it was a good action movie.
It's not Star Trek.
No, it's not Star Trek.
But it was
Trek
a good action movie.
And it kind of bugs me that he got to do both. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Pick a lane.
Yeah.
Like, if you're going to go into a galaxy, yeah, you're right. Yeah. Stay either Stardate or the
long time ago in a galaxy far, far
thank
away.
You. Yes. Well, like Ridley Scott. What if Ridley Scott took it? you'd have.
Yeah. Well,
you'll just be shot in one hallway.
Well, then you're just gonna corridor. Get. You'll just get recuts years later again.
And redoing it, re-explaining
it to people.
Little Yoda face suckers and little Yodas jumping out of the chest of somebody. Like, I mean, I'm glad that he did it. Don't get me wrong, but at the same time, I don't know. It's all argumentative at the end of the day. Favorite line. What's our favorite line?
I know.
Damn it.
That's my favorite line. It's the best. There's lots, but that's my favorite. Like when he just, I love you. And then he just replies, I know.
Fuck,
that's so pimp. Like just the confidence as a man to say that to a woman. Like just... Oh, that was good.
That's my ringtone when Shauna texts me.
That's good.
I know. No, it's I love you. I know. Yeah. It's the full exchange. These aren't the droids you're looking for. That's probably,
that's a good one.
That's a great one when you're trying to mess with somebody, and they're asking you something, and you're like this. You just recite the line, and it's universally known.
Pretty much every Yoda line, like you must unlearn what you have learned.
Yeah, do or do not. There is no try.
There's no try. Like every Yoda line was good.
Man, I'm like going. The only thing that keeps popping my head is when they're in doing the prison break and they get the radio call. And
oh,
like,
and he's standing outside.
He's
of
like, that. "Oh, no, everything is fine. Everything's okay. Okay, how are you?" Boring conversation, anyway.
That was great in the trash compactor scene too. Oh, some gooders.
A lot of good ones. What else did there's Obi-Wan had a bunch of good ones too in the first one. I just can't remember off the top of my head.
Those aren't the, like, he does have great ones, but those aren't the ones that, well, these aren't the droids you're looking for.
No, something about the luck one. He's like, oh, in my experience, there's no such thing as luck.
Yeah.
Like that's
no moon.
Yeah. That's a space station. Yeah, that's how Moon was a good one. Stay on target.
Stay on target. Yeah. How's that not?
A lot of times in movies, yeah, but like the little offhand lines are actually my favorite. Yeah. It makes me think of my favorite, totally off topic, my favorite line from Indiana Jones is bad dates.
Indy, camels. Have you guys looked up anything about Star Wars Land now that it's starting to open? And I think it opens in like 4 weeks.
They're doing it both in Disney World and Disneyland, right?
Yep, both parks.
It'll be a Millennium Falcon ride, from what I remember.
There is drone footage online right now of the Millennium Falcon area and the ride, and it looks like someone parked a Millennium Falcon in the middle of Disney.
Saw that. It's pretty cool.
It's pretty pimp. I
don't really have interest in
ever
in
no
that at all.
No.
I am never coming back home. I'm just gonna live in that park. I'm gonna buy one ticket and just never leave. I'll live off the scraps of that families don't eat. Like, just come out tonight and
just dumpster diving for days.
Yeah.
No, I mean,
and I'm gonna get my fucking Ewoks. I want my Ewoks.
Just you at like the park's closing and you're walking out with your little Ewok in your head.
Yeah.
And I'm like eating half a corn dog somebody left in a garbage can. See you tomorrow, guys.
No, I'm never leaving. I'm never leaving the park. I'm just gonna sleep in one of the little alcoves somewhere, you know what I mean? Just somewhere. I'll find a place.
I don't know how, like I know Hoth, Endor, Dagobah, Tatooine, those are four confirmed areas in Star Wars Land. Never mind just like one area built in that, but it looks absolutely fantastic. I think they crashed the servers the other day.
Have you gone to Disneyland or Disney World?
No.
Oh, fuck. What's wrong with you?
I don't even like the X.
Oh, my God.
Well, I know
it's
why.
Like the happiest place in the world.
No, you know what it is? It's me and people. Like, same thing with, like, concerts and the
Yeah, if you don't like it, I get it.
I don't like when it's Superstore, you know.
No, I don't. I get
rush
it.
Hours or Costco rush hours.
Don't go to Disneyland for sure.
Yeah, no.
But,
it's
I mean, it's
be,
amazing.
Yeah.
Like, it's so fun. It's just the shitty thing is, like, yeah, you will wait in line. And I'll say this. One of my happiest memories as both a child and an adult was waiting in line in the Star Tours line. Like the actual Star Wars ride, like before Star Wars Land.
Yeah,
they have a Star Wars ride called Star Tours, and just seeing all the different, like when you're in line, you see like you go into like the Star Wars world, like you're in like a rebel bunker, and I'm like, this is fucking awesome. There's so many droids. I see Admiral Akbar.
Oh, that's my favorite.
I was flipping
line.
Out. Like, yeah. That wasn't for me when I was 5. That was for me when I was like 15 or 16. And I've been there numerous times before.
When we were in Vegas this year, they had a 4D experience where you put on a VR helmet and a VR backpack and you go in and it's a 15-minute ride. And when they do 4D now, 4D is like the temperature changes, there's mist, there's like you feel like an electric shock to your pack, like you're fully immersed. And we were on, I always mispronounce it, so Martin, Darth Vader's planet,
Mustafar.
Mustafar. So we were on Mustafar, and we were two rogue. We were two resistance fighters dressed as stormtroopers, me and Shauna. And we had to like break in, hack a code, break out with a piece of tech.
Are you like walking around and...
You're walking around in an environment that you would never expect is designed like this battle station that's on Mustafar. I'm sure if I took my helmet off, it would just be like boxes and stairs.
Heated fans.
And like heated fans in front of you. But because it is like you drop your helmet on and it is, you feel like a stormtrooper. And I look over at Shauna.
So it's like there's a path you have to take. Like
exactly. Like doors open. But so if you want to open like a door, you have to actually take your hand and hit a button that's a real button. And that real button opens up the cargo bay door that you're on the ship trying to get through. And
yeah, that could be cool.
I have a question, Mike.
Yeah.
When are we going to Las Vegas?
I mean, they got the VR thing here, but they really need to bring a 4D experience. Like build an open concept that allows you to change.
Want
to
smell the burning flesh.
You do. Like you smell smoke when you're down around the...
Want to
like,
smell that sulfur.
And like when you get hit, like when another stormtrooper shoots you, like you jolt, like your backpack rocks you a bit. So you really do feel like you're in it. I mean, yeah, it's $50 for 15 minutes, but it's super fun.
I'd pay $100.
Yeah. Like there was that one.
Take my money now.
And there was a Wreck-It Ralph one, but the Star Wars one, like I Googled what I googled Star Wars things in Vegas just to see if there was anything there, because they had the Marvel Museum, which is way overplayed. But so yeah, we did it. So I imagine stuff like that's going to be at Star Wars World. But we plan on going next year. I think
we're going to go Vegas.
No, we're going to go to Star Wars World.
I'm coming.
Please do.
I'm just saying that right now.
Yeah, no.
You have no choice in the matter.
I am there.
Martin's there.
Like, yeah. I would love it if she could bring one of her friends so that I could be like, me and Martin are going to fly on the Millennium Falcon, go to the Magic Kingdom, do whatever the fuck you want. Like, just leave us in the park for 8 hours to get it all out of our system.
Yeah. This has got to be like a 5-day trip to Disneyland.
Oh, my God. Easily.
It's like literally hell on earth.
That would run like 10 grand.
Oh, my God.
Do we think that Star Wars can survive now that they're putting a timeout on movies? It sounds pretty much like they're going, like they've held off on the Obi-Wan origin story.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they should have stopped. They should have stopped after Return of the Jedi.
Well, yeah, because
just been like, meh,
Han Solo, they were supposed to kill Han, right? Like, that was the...
They should have just said, hey.
He's supposed to die in Empire.
Was it? No, he was supposed to die in Return.
I thought it was Empire.
No.
Empire. Well, Empire.
He wasn't supposed to be in Return.
They should, like, they went to, like, it's all just been cash grabs, and it's all just watered down what it was for when, what it was. Like, if it was a special thing that you got to see that a few people saw on VHS, or the lucky few in theaters if they were old enough, and it was just this experience, and it should have just been that, and it would have just been this, you know, amazing thing that had happened, and now we have to live with Yoda toothpaste,
yeah,
and shitty prequels and remixed things and all this other shit that goes on with it. And
as the original three, it is a masterpiece. But when you start fucking with the recipe,
yeah, you should just say, "Hey, that's it. Great ride, perfect, awesome. Moving on."
And I mean, the way they made it too, they didn't have the technology back then to do a lot of those dogfight scenes with the TIE fighters and the X-Wings. So when you look at how hard it was to make that movie, that also adds to why you shouldn't touch it.
Yeah.
What were you going to say?
Well, and the problem is, you said, where is it going to go when they take their hiatus?
Yeah.
Reboot.
You really think so?
I think they already confirmed they're doing TV.
They're going to do TV, and then a few years pass.
When nobody's looking, you think think New Hope is going to get touched?
Of course. Of course. It's called money.
That's true.
Money, money, money.
I hope the world's ending by then.
Well, if you're lucky, it will.
Well, the Mandalorian is the series. That's the only one that I know of that's the big hype.
They're doing a Old Republic series as well.
Okay, yeah, I did hear something vague.
Like, I'd like
about
to see
that,
an HBO take on Star Wars.
So the Star Wars... the greater Star Wars universe and lore, there's so much in there you can do. The original Star Wars stories, that's basically just a family squabble, that's done.
Yeah. That's like, done, squared.
That's done. Like, it shouldn't have gone there. It did. It's done. Okay. But it's a huge universe.
Yeah, they could do so much with it. I like the Mandalorian looks cool. I hope it does. Yeah. I hope it's good. Like, I'd like to see a darker, like, I mean... They can survive on TV series. Like, the Clone Wars cartoons was actually really good. I don't know if you guys have seen it.
I've watched a couple episodes here and there, like, just kind of seeing the animation and the...
They're really good. They tell the story of what happens between Attack of the Clones and basically Episode 3. Everything that... It fills everything in between that. And there's so much to draw on, like you said, in the universe.
Mm.
That I think that was one of the things they did really well.
The only problem with the universe is, I mean, we all know... I mean, I don't know what you guys know, but I know... enough to engage in a conversation about the expanded universe of Star Wars, but that's not general knowledge, and that's the problem. Like, and that's, I think, what you're like when you say, Steve, they have to go there if they want to continue it, because eventually, yeah, like we've milked the cow.
Well, yeah, so it all comes back to that line. Oh, there is another. Now you just turned it into one big family show. Yeah,
there's always another,
and you had this huge, galaxy, this huge universe to play with, and that one line, no, there is another, limited it, cut off all these options. This tree of sprouting potential got trimmed right down to one branch.
Must be the sister.
Just got the instant you made Leia, the sister, the twin sister, who obviously had no idea and doesn't have any force sense because she never felt them until whatever she was told about it.
Yeah,
it ends. You just cut this tree down, this huge tree, into one single branch.
Yeah, I agree.
Yep, I.
But hopefully, with the they're putting pause and doing
yeah, now
stuff.
Now they're replanting, replant. Like it, call it Star Wars, but set it somewhere else or in a different time because it's, you know, the Republic expanded like 1,000 years or something.
2,000.
If you go back
years.
To the video game,
yeah,
that's all I know.
Well, if you...
beyond the movies, I only know the video game, the old Republic games.
We haven't even touched on it, but Rogue One is proof that you can make a really good Star Wars movie that is a whole new story. Like it's a bridge, right? It's obviously the bridge between 3 and 4, right? It's right in between there. Plans are stolen. That's the whole purpose of it. But it had, first of all, I think we've talked about this before. Everybody dies.
That's the first time that's ever happened.
That's the first time that's ever happened. And that's a big twist. And that's what I liked about it. It wasn't like, you can see a Star Wars plot coming a mile away, right? With the whole family thing. Rogue One was like, okay, well, they have these plans. How did they get these plans? And what was sacrificed to get them? And we find out everybody involved.
Yes, everyone involved died.
Yeah.
To bring you these
Many
plans.
Many Bothas.
That was in episode 6.
Yeah.
Bothans were the ones who got sacrificed in episode 6.
But yeah, so you can do that. So I hope they do, because some of the books I've seen over the years and just like read the random stories, like
even the games have a really good story.
Yeah,
like, I think it's there was a story about Kyle Katarn was the Dark Forces. He's basically the dude who steals the plans and then brings them to the Rebel Alliance, and then eventually in the next sequel, you find out like his dad was a Jedi. And then he just basically, he was a force sensitive, didn't know about it. And then the whole series is basically him, his journey on becoming the like underground Jedi. Because
what I would love is to see this universe, a small story in this universe. It's a story that's not based on the whole galaxy hinging and who's going to run it and all that stuff. But let's see like a, you know, a cop procedural.
What about the
on Coruscant?
What about a what about a family trying to survive on Hoth, like a Star Wars reality show?
No, it's Survivor Hoth.
Yeah.
I vote out Michael. He's the one who sent us here. I can't take it.
I told them to invite me back when they were doing a War with Planet. I was like, if you go to Kashyyyk, I'll come.
They didn't do it officially, but they did like a Star Wars spoof of Cops.
Oh really?
On the internet, it's so fucking funny.
And it's
like on Tatooine, basically like it's stormtroopers.
Pulled off the speeder.
Yeah, stormtroopers basically like pretending like it's like the cop show, but they're stormtroopers and they're on great. Tatooine. It's so funny.
That's great.
Yeah, that's the kind of shit I want to see sprout. I think the last thing I wanted to cover with you guys, the marathon. How many times have you done the marathon? Which would be 1 through 6.
I don't even remember how many times.
Yeah.
A lot.
A lot.
Yeah. I think every few years I do it.
It's
every couple of years maybe.
It's the only one I can't do Lord of the Rings. I can't do it. It's just
Lord of the Rings sucks.
That's another discussion which I won't double here.
Yeah. Yeah, that's opening up a can of worms, but that'd be a fun one. I think we did one, Martin, when we worked at Don Pedro's together. That was probably my favorite one.
That was the favorite one.
It is. And it's always on Christmas, and it's always on Thanksgiving.
It was like
it's always on
a potluck too, when you just had a
hangout. I always like when you start off in Phantom Menace and you pass out and then you wake up and Anakin's Darth Vader and you're like,
you fall asleep during episode 2 and you're just like, okay, well, here we go.
Yeah.
Now it's getting interesting.
But it's okay. It's fun that way. Steve, how many times have you done it?
I've never done that.
You've never done it?
No.
You've never done the marathon?
No. I've never watched it out of order. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Because that is out of order, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Going 1 through 6 is out of order.
Yeah.
3, 4, 5, 6, 1, 2, 3. I know that's the true way to watch it.
My way to say it is like the proper viewing is 4, 5, 6. 7, skip 8, and if you have time, 1, 2, 3. Maybe 3 if you have time first, then watch 1 and 2. I would just skip 1 and 2, watch 3. 4, 5, 6, then go back to 3, and then 7, and that's it.
No, 8?
No.
No,
that's like one of those filler movies where you can just skip that shit. I don't even like.
You really didn't like The Last Jedi?
I did not like it.
Wow, I know. No. We went to go see it together, and we didn't really talk about it after, but I
still
like. It's not enough for me to. Yeah, well, that's not saying much, but not enough for me to like to watch it again. You know what I mean? I think I've only seen it maybe twice, and that's like the least amount I've ever seen any Star Wars movie.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I've only seen it twice too, actually, come to think of it. I kind of want to watch it again now to see, like, it's reminding me of...
But what Steve said, the only parts I did like about it was the Kylo Ren and Rey storyline.
Well, the theory I was reading about how the Force, how you cut yourself off from the Force so you can't feel a disturbance in the Force anymore, which they say was introduced when Darth Vader said he sensed Obi-Wan was on the Death Star. is that we've all heard from the last trailer Palpatine's laugh at the end of the trailer, right?
Yeah, what is dead may never die.
I was like, Greyjoy's.
Greyjoy.
Just because it's gone, it's not, or whatever that line.
Yeah, nothing is as dead as it seems, or some cheesy shit like that. But they say that because Luke cut himself off from the Force, so nobody could find him. Obi-Wan essentially did the same thing. So did Yoda, right? Like, they were secrets. They were known where they were. People knew where they were only by word of mouth.
Yoda never really cut himself off from the Force. He went to a planet that was so rich in life, which was Dagobah, and strong with the dark side of the Force that you couldn't feel his presence.
Okay, so that
like, if he cut himself from the Force, then he wouldn't be able to, like, move the X-Wing.
That's true. You're right. Okay. What they say about Snoke is, well, Palpatine... is that he did the same thing to hide all these years.
Makes sense.
So that's how...
Building
up his strength, because essentially we see Palpatine fall down that chute.
I think it was more because the Jedi just became bloated and bureaucratic, and they kind of lost focus, and that's how he was able to hide.
Well, yeah, but he's...
Because that's the imbalance.
Oh, that's in the episodes 1, 2, 3.
Yeah.
He's talking about after he falls down in episode 6. He still hides again.
He's been hiding ever since.
Oh, he's not dead.
Yeah. He's not dead. Oh. Yeah. I know what you're talking about. Yeah, the bloated bureaucratic Jedi in 1, 2, 3 is very is the imbalance in the Force. But since 6 in Return, he's been hiding on his own planet, cutting himself off from the Force, waiting for his perfect moment to strike, which is
makes sense.
How they can bring him back into the series. And
that's what spoiler alert, but it's been a while. The Clone Wars cartoons, Darth Maul's not dead.
Oh.
Do you remember?
Yeah, no, I remember.
Because he's in Solo.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? When he gets cut in half, he lives and somehow manages to, like, make himself some robotic legs in there. And, like, he's still alive in that series. Like, but he's very, like, disturbed. So he's not really, I don't know if you could sense him. But I don't think he was that strong anyways. But he wasn't dead. Like, you know what I mean? Like, playing on the fact that Palpatine's not dead. Like, Darth Maul wasn't dead in that one. And does he
interesting.
Die?
Yeah, no, I didn't. Like I said, I've maybe watched 2 or 3 episodes of The Clone Wars.
Yeah.
I should probably get on it before I got to pay for another streaming service. Because
I'm not sure if they're, it's leaving Netflix sometime soon. So you should watch it before.
That's my point, is that all that stuff's leaving Netflix really soon.
Yeah.
What else do we have here that we were going to talk about? Oh, yeah. Okay. Choice of 3 ships, transport vehicle, fighter ship, or speeder. What would you rather have in your garage?
Definitely some sort of ship with hyperspace technology.
Okay. All right.
Just so I can explore the entire galaxy instead of just sitting on one planet. You know what I mean? Like, I just...
Okay, so our snow speeder, I should say. Like, you've got your snow speeder, your X-Wing. You've got your...
If you want to ask me what ship I would want from the Star Wars galaxy, an X-Wing.
X-Wing.
Yeah, okay. Definitely an X-Wing. If not the Falcon, an X-Wing. I just think the X-Wing that's my favorite ship. The Millennium Falcon was iconic, but I just love the X-Wing growing up. I'm like, it's a fighter plane. It's meant for one person. You get an R2 unit with it. What's not to like?
What about you, Steve? If you could put any ship in your garage, what would it, what would it be?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking too. He's like, that's cool.
Well, okay.
Well, you said any ship. That's no moon.
That's a space station.
My favorite ships. I don't know. I always, although the movie sucks, I always like kind of the look of those Naboo fighters.
Oh, like, yeah.
Oh, those were ugly. Those were the ugliest spiders. Cool. With their bright, like, the silver and yellow.
I thought they looked neat.
They can't even penetrate the shields of whatever those, the droid federation, the control ships is, ugh.
And the gun blast sounds like a Naboo fart. Like it,
I don't like those.
Yeah, no. I would take Boba Fett's ship.
Slave One.
I like how it landed. I thought that was always cool how it landed, kind of like not the way that you would normally.
It flies like this, but it flies vertically, but it lands horizontally.
Yeah, I thought that was really neat.
Slave One's cool.
It is, and like I mean, from playing so much Battlefront, and being able to like now that they've, I mean, when me and you started playing Martin, you pretty much had to find the Millennium Falcon in like some dark pocket of the game. Like if you didn't find it, you weren't playing it. Now you can play a game mode where you can pick the Millennium Falcon, you can pick an X-Wing, you can pick them and play with them. And the Slave One, it maneuvers, like turns on a dime. So
it's very maneuverable.
Yeah. Well, with that all in the bag, I think that's our time.
I think that is.
Yeah. Is there anything you want more?
I'm good.
You want to talk more about your watered down Star Wars franchise?
About how Star Wars sucks.
Well, I hope everybody enjoyed our intermittent episode. Next one, we're gonna go back to our original format. I can tell you without hesitation that the next one is gonna be Martin. What was this?
Female superheroes.
It's a
or female villains or superheroes.
Yeah, if we were to build a superhero team, what female would we pick on the team?
Yeah,
Ripley. No, sorry. Yeah, okay.
She has to have a superpower. Anyway, so we will see you guys in a couple weeks. And thanks for tuning in. Have a great day.